What I'm going to speak over this morning, it's interesting, really, because it's about a little girl who got very ill. I didn't know anything about what was going to happen, but I'm going to read this story. It's from Mark, chapter 5, verse 21. I'm reading the whole story. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter's dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he'd put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. It's an amazing story. It's got lots of layers to it, but this is the thing. I want to set the scene first of all. The scene is this. Jesus is ministering in the Galilee area. He's mainly centered in a place called Capernaum, which I've talked about before. And Capernaum's a fairly small place, and all the villages around aren't that big, but there's enough that there are huge crowds of people. Because, you know, eat your heart out, Taylor Swift. You know, Jesus is pulling them in. They are really coming to listen to what Jesus has got to say. And Jesus had previously been preaching in synagogues, but it's got to the point where the people in the synagogues don't really want him. So he's doing a lot more preaching outside. And he also does things that they're not keen on. Like when he's going through Samaria, and we heard a bit about this last week from Anne, when he's going through Samaria, he stops and talks to a Samaritan lady. I mean, A, she's a woman. B, she's a woman of kind of ill repute. And also she's a Samaritan. And the Jews hate Samaritans. Normally they go through Samaria if they're going from Galilee to Jerusalem like a rocket, phew, as fast as they can get through. But no, not Jesus. He stops and he chats, because this is Jesus. And then what he does just before this is he goes over to the area of the people of the Gerasenes. Now, the Gerasenes are as bad as the Samaritans, really. I mean, they keep pigs and stuff like that, which Jews don't. I mean, and they eat pork and stuff like that. You know, these people are beyond the pale. And yet Jesus goes over there. And he, in fact, delivers a man, a demoniac. He goes to where there are tombs, which isn't a good thing for a Jewish person to do. And he goes and he sorts out this demoniac and sends the demons into a load of pigs who run off and go into the sea. So a lot less bacon in future. But, you know, he's gone over there where normally Jewish people wouldn't really want to stay too long. And then he comes back, and he comes back, and there's a huge crowd waiting for him, a big crowd. Now, you've got to imagine what this is like. You know, if you've ever been to a football match, coming out of the football match, you know, it's like everyone's all around you. It can be quite scary at times. This big crowd all around Jesus. And then this astonishing thing happens. The astonishing thing is this. There's this man called Jairus, who is the ruler of a synagogue. Now, bear in mind that the synagogues don't really want too much to do with Jesus now. And he's one of the rulers of the synagogue. So he'd be known by all the people around. All the locals would know this is Jairus, and Jairus is one of the leaders of the synagogue. Also there, we know, because they were there to catch Jesus out, there were Pharisees, there were Sadducees, all these people who, in authority from Jerusalem, who had come up to catch Jesus out and to check him out and make sure not too many people were following him, okay? So they're all there, and this man Jairus, who they would have known as well, because he would have been one of the local representatives, if you like, of the Jewish faith in the area. They would be there, and then Jairus comes along. And what does Jairus do? He falls at Jesus' feet, in front of everybody, in front of this crowd. He so wants to get to Jesus that he doesn't care what anyone thinks. He doesn't care if he's going to lose his place in the synagogue. It does not matter to him. He falls in front of Jesus. He prostrates himself. And it says, in one version, he pleads earnestly. He begs Jesus. This is the person who technically, if you like, he shouldn't have too much to do with. But A, he has a need. And B, I think, in that person, he wouldn't have done it if he didn't think it was worth doing. If he didn't think that Jesus was the person who Jesus is, he wouldn't have done it, because it's too much cost, too much risk, too much to lose. But he didn't care. All he wanted to do was get to Jesus. And if that meant smashing through a crowd, falling at his feet in front of everybody, it did not matter. What would you do to get to Jesus? How important is Jesus to you that you want to get close to him and spend time with him? Then there's this lady. Now, this lady, I think she's an interesting character. She must have had a bit of money at some time, because it says when she got this blood problem, it seems to be it might have been a gynecological problem, who knows, we don't really know what it is, but it's got what some of the translation says, an issue of blood. It does not sound good to me. It makes her unclean. Jewish people would not go near her. Her family would not go near her. For 12 years, she hadn't had a meal with her family. For 12 years, she hadn't been able to touch anyone in her family. For 12 years, she had not been able to go to a synagogue. For 12 years, if she got near anyone who knew her, they'd tell her to go away. They'd reject her. They'd shout her, get out of here. And if she got too close, maybe they didn't even pick up stones, because they did that in those days, to drive away someone who was unclean. This woman had been so rejected. But I think sometimes she must have had a bit of money, because it says that she spent all her money on doctors, and doctors are not cheap. You know, no national health there, you know. And it sounds like she'd done it quite a lot of times. You get that feeling, don't you? So there's a sense of failure as well. I've tried this over and over and over and over again. This woman was a disappointed, rejected woman who had everything on her. And then she hears about Jesus. And she hears enough that faith grows in her. We know this because of what Jesus says later. Faith grows in her. And all she wants to do is to get near and touch Jesus. What would you do to get near and touch Jesus? How important is it for you to meet him day by day? Because you can do that. This woman comes to a crowd. Have you ever been in a crowd? You go to an event and everyone's got there first, and there's this big crowd and you can't see. Now, it's all right for Chris. He can stand at the back and look over the top. Me? I need to get to the front, because I can't see otherwise. And this poor woman, okay, she hopes that no one knows her, because if they do, they won't let her get anywhere near them. She has the hope that she can kind of get through, and she's got to sneak through, right the way through to the front, to get close enough to Jesus. Can you picture it? Can you picture what it's like? Have you ever seen, when a prime minister or an important person is going somewhere, because they were all going now with Jairus to his house, they're all going along, and you see it on the television, don't you? There's the important person or the celebrity in front, and there's all the minders round about, that'd be the disciples, they're all round, and everyone is, it says they're pressing, the crowd are pressing all over, and she has got to somehow get close enough. Probably been barged around, shoved around. And she is not a brave lady by nature. Because when Jesus finds out about her, at first she doesn't want to say anything. And then when she does, she comes in fear and trembling. She's not going, "Whoa, I'm healed. No, she's coming in fear and trembling. This lady had to overcome her own fears. She had to overcome her disappointments. I'm not sure I want to try this again, because every time I try it, it goes wrong. It never works. It gets worse. She had to overcome all that and get near Jesus. All the stuff in her that she'd had for so many years built up inside her. All her natural instincts to kind of not be too brave. Everything that was in front of her. What crowds keep you from Jesus? What crowds keep you from Jesus? Is it the crowd of your work? Is it the crowd of people you know? We all have a crowd that keeps us away from Jesus sometimes. We need to push through that crowd, because the most important thing is knowing Jesus. This is eternal life, it says in the Bible. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. And you need to get to Jesus. You need to be close to him and walk with him. Do you know, I'm saying this because I want to encourage you to get closer to Jesus. In my heart, I almost feel that's what I'm sent to this place for, to make sure that people in our church get to know Jesus better. Is there anything better? You people who have known Jesus for so long, you know, we sung that song earlier on about, you know, I never remember the name of words, but you know, that he's never let us down. And us people who have known him for a long time, Jill, Derek, Richard, Janet, oh yeah, there's more of us here. He doesn't let you down, does he? And know him better, better day by day. And we can do that. We can do that. But one of the things that we need to do is to encourage people. I brought this here. Normally Jamie would come up and see if he can give me a hand. I don't need a hand. Don't worry about it. Now, do you know there's an old saying? Do you know the saying, life is not a bed of roses? Do you know that one? You know, life's not a bed of roses. And yeah, that's a nice rose, isn't it? It's pretty cool. No one's having it, by the way. Well, I'm going to give it to Lainey, but yeah. Selling them now, Mother's Day. You can get these in all good, you know, shops. But actually, life is a bed of roses. Because, see, roses get black spot. Roses get green fly. Roses, if the rain's bad, all the petals go brown and yucky. And they need, roses need feeding. Roses need watering. Roses need to be planted in the right place. Roses get all sorts of things happen to them. That's why we need each other. Because in a sense, life is a bed of roses. We know that. We've just been praying with Sam and Hannah. You know, that's what it's about. We need to encourage each other. Live with each other. Love each other. Jesus said, this is the mark of the Christian, that we love one another as he loved us, that we love one another. He repeats that when he says that verse. You love one another as I have loved you. We need to encourage one another. I've got another. This is a kind of encouragement in a way. You say, which is the better? Which is the better rose? Come on, which is the better rose? Which one are you going to go for? Come on, Jenny, which one are you going to go for? The one in flower and looking beautiful. In a way, you're right, of course, because it does look pretty. And if I gave this to you, you'd probably say, yeah, that's nice, Bob. But this one is better than that one. Because this one has been artificially grown on. And if I put that outside, because it hasn't been through the winds, it hasn't been through the rains, it hasn't had to put up with anything, it hasn't been pruned yet, nothing's happened to it, there's a real risk that if I put that outside, it's going to die. This one has been pruned, it stood the winter, it's got through it. I can put this one outside, and I know that when all these flowers have gone in May and June, that this one will be flowering, okay? Because that's when roses actually flower, in May and June. All that's artificial stuff. And we live in the real world. And the real world is one where we really need each other. We really need each other. So, the next part that I want to speak about in the time I've got is, what do we speak over people? It's so important what we speak over people. It's everything. Let me just look at Jairus, okay? So Jairus is walking with Jesus. They're going. There's this pause, what he must have thought. You know, his daughter is really seriously ill, and this lady kind of interrupts everything. And so there's a big pause, and Jesus, you know, makes sure he knows who this lady is, and everything goes on. And then they're going again. And as they're going along, and Jairus is already up against it, there comes this message, your daughter's dead. And this is what they say. Don't bother the teacher. It's not worth it. Yeah. Too late now. Don't bother. I love what Jesus does. Jesus is great. Jesus says that he ignores what they say. And he tells the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. We need to speak that over people. Because on my own, I can't always believe for stuff. I'd like to think I could. But I sometimes need someone to come alongside me and tell me that I can believe. I sometimes need someone to come alongside me and say, don't be afraid. You're walking with Jesus, because that's what Jairus was doing. Jairus is walking with Jesus. When you walk with Jesus, there's less reason to be afraid, isn't there? If you're walking with him. And that's what Jairus was doing. Get close to Jesus. Walk with him. And so they get to the house. And when they get to the house, there's this noise going on. There's wailing and there's crying. And there's all this commotion, it says in the Bible. And Jesus sees all this. And they go in. And he said, what's all this about? She's not dead. She's asleep. And what they do then, and it's really weird, they laugh. Now, if someone said that to me, and I really meant my wailing and my crying, I might turn around and say, what are you on about? I might be a bit cross. I might be indignant. I wouldn't laugh. These people didn't really care. Not that much. You know, it's their kind of business to wail and make a big fuss and all the rest. But there's nothing in their hearts. You can't laugh. You can't turn from that and then laugh at and mock someone. Can you? I wouldn't have thought so. And so Jesus does this. He just gets rid of them. It says after he put them all out. Do you know Jesus can do that with stuff? He can put out all that stuff that gets in your way if you let him. And that's what he did here. You see, put them out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. Here was the problem. All these people are making all this fuss. Take Jesus to where your problem is. Go into that place where you're dispirited. Go into that place of distress. Go into that place of worry with Jesus. And when he goes in there, he doesn't make a big fuss and a commotion. He brings peace. He comes in and he takes the little girl by the hand and says, little girl, get up. She gets up. She walks. She's fine. They're all completely astonished. I imagine Jesus is just like calm as anything. And he gives strict orders. Don't let anyone know about this. This isn't me doing this to be a big deal. I'm doing this out of love. He's not saying this. He doesn't need to. He's doing it out of love. And he also doesn't want this girl to be a kind of, you know, everyone, oh, there's the girl who, you know, like Harry Potter, there's the boy who died and whatever it is. You know, he wants her to be able to live a normal life. Because Jesus cares. Walk with Jesus. Take Jesus into those places in your life that are hurting, those places that are distressing you. Keep with Jesus. And then we've got this woman, and this is where I'll be finishing on this, because it's what Jesus speaks over her. I love this. This woman has had so much. I've already said about it. This woman has been rejected. This woman has been disappointed. This woman has been failed. This woman isn't allowed to do so many things. And the last thing she must feel she is somebody's daughter. Okay? That must be the last thing she thinks she is. And what does Jesus say to her? He doesn't just say, and you see it in other things where he might just say, you know, get up and whatever. He doesn't say that. This word that he says is everything. He says, daughter, daughter. That's what he says to you if you love Jesus. He says, daughter, you might not feel like it sometimes. You might feel that other people have said things that hurt you. Oh, they must have said things that hurt this woman. Oh, my goodness. She must have felt less like a daughter than anything. And Jesus says, daughter. And he says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This woman has had no peace. This woman has had a total lack of freedom. And what does Jesus say? Now you belong to me, you're my daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And I believe Jesus wants to speak that over people here this morning. I believe that Jesus wants to say to you, not just daughters, but sons of God, you might have had rejection. You might have had people say unkind things to you. You might not feel good enough. You might be like this lady and you have a lot of fears and frightenness. Jesus wants to say, daughter, be free, be healed, have peace. I believe that Jesus wants to say that over the daughters here and the sons here. I really do. And I believe that's why Jesus wanted me to come and use that verse today. So over you, I say, daughter, son, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Father God, help us to get closer to you. Help us to get closer to Jesus. Show us what we can do each day to know him better. And Father God, I pray over everyone here that they may know healing, peace, freedom, and that they will realize that they can be daughters and sons of yours. Father God, I pray this in Jesus' name, and I pray that if there is anybody here who is struggling, who has hurts from the past, people have said unkind things to them, heal that, Father, free them from it, give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.